Hello, welcome to Panda Spaces. I hope you enjoy the content in each episode. Remember that these were recorded live during a Twitter space. So at the beginning of each episode, there might be a few minutes of music. Feel free to fast forward or skip to the next chapter and enjoy. Thank you.
And I want lots of money. I don't care about clever, I don't care about funny. I want loads of clothes and fuck loads of diamonds. I heard people die while they're trying to find them. And I'll take my clothes off and it will be shameless, cause everyone knows that's how you get famous. I'll look at the sun and I'll look in the mirror. I'm on the right track, yeah, I'm on to a winner. And I don't know what's going on. Killing them all on my own little mission. Now I'm not a saint, but I'm not a sinner. And everything's cool as long as I'm getting thinner. I don't know what's right and wrong.
All right, that song was called The Fear by Lily Allen. Kind of felt like it was a fitting song for the beginning of the talk of chapter 7 for Bamboo Book Time. Rich Dad, Poor Dad, talking about fear more than anything else. You know, we're afraid to lose. We're afraid to fuck up. We're afraid to fail. So, I felt it was pretty fitting, especially the opening line. Let's start it off.
That's what's up. I like the good energy started off. That was a fun song. Thank you very much. And I had a fun idea. Maybe with that account, we could do some posts about the songs that we use in these spaces. Just an idea I had while that song was playing. Hey, I've got a special guest, two special guests to kick off the night. These youngins are brilliant in their own fashion, and they are almost off to bed, but they have their own little nighttime ritual before they go to bed. Anyways, let me introduce Abel and Josie.
Hi. So today we're going to be reading a book. We're reading The Hunger Games Mockingjay. It's the third one in the series. And we're really excited. Hope everybody has a good night. Abel off. Josie off.
Wow. That was freestyle. Nice. They literally ran off. Oh my! You guys are getting clappy hands and emojis. Those kids, they're actually super into reading, and it just warms my heart. I love that. So they're definitely into some action packed stuff. A series that they really liked before this one was the World of Land of Stories. That's what it was. They really dug that for a minute. Anyways, my friends, good evening. Thank you, Sparky, for the awesome intro. And I'm excited to dig into this one. I know Dap was really excited to talk about this one. I really appreciate that Dap is kind of catching fire. And I, you know, really each time I come back, this book, this was the first chapter that I felt could be a little aggressive for some people. Just when you're using the word loser, it can come off just kind of aggressive a little bit. But if you kind of take it for what it is, it can light some fires for sure. And that's why I like coming to these discussions, because I'm more excited to hear about what you guys have to say about this stuff than it's just dinner time. Sorry, my dogs are rumbling around making noise around here. I got cats meowing at me. But I think we should start off with Dap tonight, because he kind of made a mention on the timeline that he was excited about this chapter. And I think in the Discord said, hey, if you're going to read one, read this one. So I'd love to start it off with some positive thoughts on this chapter. I don't really have necessarily negative thoughts, but I have a few, like, I guess, disclaimers that I would want to give someone before they read this. Definitely, I feel like I would want to, I guess, read the room before I suggested this chapter to just anybody. But if I have like an entrepreneurial friend that I know is super willing to take risks and like has kind of that door-to-door mentality and like is able to hear words like loser and not really get bummed out, and they're kind of like, yeah, give it to me. I don't know. That's kind of, without reading the other chapters before this one, I guess I would be careful, but I liked it. But that's because I've been a door to door salesman, you know, and I've had my rejection after rejection in my 20s and my 30s, and now I'm almost into my 40s, and I started in my at 14 selling stuff and working, and I've just built a thick skin with rejection. And but man, this chapter really does dive into some good concepts. And before I turn it over and Dap and get your thoughts, I just want to do my usual thing and read these questions, because these questions at the end of each chapter really are great just to get your mind spinning and, you know, take the content in this chapter and then take it further, like in a book club. It's perfect. So I'm just going to go ahead and read these. And then Dap, if you're okay, I'd love to have you open it up. And sounds like you got something out of this one. So he's given 100. Okay, cool. Number one, how have you experienced the fear of failure in your life? Were you able to conquer that fear? How? Number two, Rich Dad recommended we have the attitude of Texans. Win big, but if you lose big, shout about it, and use it as a rallying cry. What's the biggest challenge for you in taking on that attitude? Does it excite you or frighten you? Now, yeah, again, disclaimers. I've just got some disclaimers with this with this chapter, but again, it's like depending on who you're delivering this to and the presentation, I think it can be presented and at least talked about without getting pissed off. But yeah, that one, it's like, ooh, I could see a bunch of arguments against some of that thought process. But number three, how do you handle the cynics in your life who try to discourage you from taking risks that you believe have a good chance of winning? And that's so interesting. I had a one-on-one with a good friend last night, and believe it or not, like when people ask me for advice, I'm the what if guy. Like you guys might know me as like jump in and sprint, but that's like with my own stuff. Whenever someone asks me like, well, hey, what do you think I should do? I'm like, well, I got a bunch of what ifs. Let's run through all of them and see how you feel. And then let's run through them again and see how you feel. And like, I don't know. I guess I just understand that entrepreneurialism isn't for the faint of heart. It's a lot of emotion too, you know? So I try to protect people, I guess. Number four, have you avoided certain investment vehicles because of, I don't want to? quote unquote, I don't want to, such as I don't invest in real estate because I don't want to fix toilets. How might you react differently next time? And I actually really, really liked that part of this chapter because that's literally what I've been terrified about real estate. I don't want to do the damn work. I don't want to fix the toilets. That was my, I'm really like, this chapter was great for that little piece of real estate for me because it was like, well, I don't want to be the upkeep. And he presented some real quick solutions, which it was like, oh, okay, that's what I was thinking he would probably do anyways. Okay, cool. So I felt a little more inclined to take on the dare of enjoying real estate. I even was around my sister-in-law, who's heavy into real estate, and her husband, my brother-in-law. And I was like asking them real estate questions and trying to get into it. I don't know. There's just no passion there for me. So I'm trying. Number five, do you agree with the statement that a little greed is the answer to curing laziness? Why or why not? I keep giving thoughts. I'm so sorry, but I guess this is my take as I'm going through these tonight. With that one, I think I would phrase it a little bit different, but I see where he's coming from. I like to look at it as, put your oxygen mask on first before you can save anyone else. I like, instead of like greed, that's a tough word for me. Number six, how has greed or desire driven you in your life? Again, I kind of think differently, and maybe I need to be greedier. I don't like that. Number seven, do you pay yourself first or your bills? If you pay yourself last, what steps can you take to change that? And that for me came back a lot to the corporation stuff, much more than just spending habits. That type of lifestyle is a whole change in structure to your taxes and stuff, I feel. But maybe I can get some other opinions on that. Number eight, has arrogance ever cost you an opportunity? What did you learn from that? Yeah, all the time, and I'm trying to fix it. Number nine, what's an area of financial knowledge that you are ignorant in? What are some resources you could seek out to educate yourself on the topic? For me, all of them, and this is a great start. I'm stoked, guys. I gave all my thoughts. I'm ready to dive in and hear yours. Dap, do you mind if we start with you, bro?
Let's do it.
All right. You kind of heard my thoughts. I didn't really think too deep or heavy on this one, and it definitely fired me up, but I guess I was a little distracted by some disclaimer thoughts that I was having. And I guess one more thought before I pass the mic to you, there's a lot of like big like shit things that happen in life that it's like abusive relationships, American health system, getting fired, and like, I don't know, there's so many real life, hard life opportunities that before you can like get to the point of being ready for investing, I feel like this book kind of approaches it from, okay, do you kind of have your finances kind of in order? Okay, let's talk about this stuff. I think it's leaving out a bunch of people, and I'll toss myself in there, that are just like almost pre this step, you know what I mean? But it's giving me excitement to get to these levels. You know what I mean? So that's my last thought, but I would love to hear what you have to say, because I think you take things and put a really good positive outlook on them and see the opportunities type person. And I can't wait to hear what you have to say. Go ahead.
So a lot of that, you know, is going to be unavoidable, but I feel that he would say that, you know, some of that stuff is noise that you choose to listen to. Some of it, you know, everyone's going to be different. What choices they make, where they are now, where they want to be. It's all different for all of us. In regards to this chapter, I have it on an audiobook, listened to it probably 10 times since, you know, we had a long week, and felt really, it made me at the end, after going through it so many times, I've come to realize that, you know, my mindset has shifted some since reading this, and I'm starting to look at the world around me differently, and I'm starting to understand, you know, some of the reasons behind, you know, like just growing up, the decisions like my dad made, decisions that my grandfather made, decisions that my other grandfather made, decisions that everyone made around me. And I'm not quite sure that I know anyone that has made the decisions that are actually in this book. Because I don't know anyone that's, you know, when we think of rich, when we're young and little, we think of it as, you know, getting whatever you want sort of thing. And maybe even you got what you wanted as a kid, and you know, you kind of thought that your parents were well-to-do or something, or rich or whatever. People thought you were the rich kid or something like that. But, you know, it's just stuff or whatever. But the level of rich that he's talking about in here is something that is very, very, very unobtainable to most people. And I mean, it'd be cool to be able to get to that level, because, you know, with a little bit of greed, as he says, you know, it'd be kind of neat to be able to get to that point, to be able to, you know, do what you wanted to. And then that's the ultimate level of being able to give back to people, too, in a way. So, but I digressed a little bit, so when I finished this chapter several times again, because of what I just said, I never felt so alone. Like, the people around me and everything, they think completely differently than I do. And I kind of feel like I don't belong with these other people, and I feel like, I hate to say it, but I feel like I've been being held back by the people that I normally would call my friend and stuff. So it's pretty weird coming to realize that and coming to try and like accept that to like better myself and better my family, because there's some really hard trials that if you actually were to do what he suggests and everything, it's going to take a lot of emotional control, especially this chapter. I mean, it gets into the mindset part of you're making decisions that other people don't make. And it's not just financially, it's mindset. And we're talking about fear, and we in the Web 3, you know, we talk about FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. That's all over Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, and everything all the time in trading. FUD, it's what drives markets down and up, is people panicking and fearing. And he talks about that. And the other thing was laziness. I feel like, you know, we're like reading Dante's Inferno of finance, you know, going through the different circles of hell, you know, of the things of my mindset, and it's picking apart each one of them and criticizing them and telling me, you know, you shouldn't do that. You should do this instead, you know. And if you take out of this equation, you know, forget about the, like, having money to do this stuff or having the obligations in your life and things you had to take care of. We get that. That's stuff that we all have to do. We all have things that we're obligated to do. But if you just use this during the time, I mean, that's what I'm going to do. If you use these sort of tools and this sort of mindset that he's painting here, I can see how it can help direct you through the fog of uncertainties and what other people are doing to make you different than everyone else. There's a lot of experiences that I've had financially and otherwise that do correlate with what he says. The times that I've made the most financial gain were in doing some of these things that are in this book, but, you know, they're not because I followed what's in the book, because I'm just now reading it. So to be able to have, I've had several instances in this book where I've had confirmation of things that I've done. And now I'm going, wow, okay, so what's something else that I can do? What could I have done differently? And it's very refreshing knowing that there are some things that I've hit right, but there is a lot that's wrong with the mental aspect of how I deal with things, especially after making gain, that I've grown more reserve on my finances, and I play it safe, which is what he talks about in this chapter. Is playing it safe is for losers. And if the way that he talks about the word loser, I don't feel that that's a title to put belittle someone. I feel that when you're calling someone a loser in the context of finance, it's someone who financially loses. And I don't see it as being a demeaning word in that context. I feel that it's something that you should strive to not be, is someone that does lose. If you continue to think like a loser and act like a loser, then you'll be a loser. It's pretty simple. You know, you are what you think you are, you know, but I like that he, the Texan thing was kind of weird though. Like, you know, I'm in Tennessee, so there's like, you know, redneck stuff or whatever that we call it. And it just made me think of that and stuff that, I don't know, the Texan mindset that he's talking about. I was like, you couldn't come up with a better analogy than that, than, I don't know, but just thought it was a little weird. Yeah, so like me and Jacqueline were listening to it. We got the audiobook. We were listening to it in the car the other day. And he brought up the part about, you know, people not wanting to fix toilets, you know, as being their excuse. No matter what you choose to do in any choice, you can always find something like that that's negative. You find the negative. There are people out there that purely find the negative in anything. And the problem with that is often they use it as an excuse. As an excuse not to better yourself. Like, oh, I don't want to deal with toilets. Well, what if toilets are the thing that are holding you back from, you know, being able to be financially independent at the level that you want to be. It could be, and I get that real estate's not for everyone, like you were saying, Lane, you know, like it's not your passion, you don't love it or whatever, but it seems that, you know, real estate is a very safe bet to take when it comes to getting a financial return, or at least to, you know, help your money with this constant battle that we have that a lot of people don't even really think about with inflation, you know, constantly printing money, the value of the dollar goes down, you know, your money's worth less sitting in a savings account than it is, you know, actually producing some. So, you know, when people say save, 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 so they're they're going to constantly be going, hey, you know, I just need to go throw that money into a bank account and make sure I don't spend it. People see saving as just not spending, when it also needs to be that, yes, you should retain funds, but you should do something with them that is not something where you're, you know, purchasing doodads, as he called it in previous chapters, the liabilities, the things that just sit there and gather dust, or they don't even sit there. They could be, you know, something digital that does nothing. So me and Jacqueline were listening to it and talking about the toilets. And then she was like, hey, let's go look at this duplex. So
hey, Panda Fam, just a reminder, if you like our content, go ahead and follow us on Twitter at Pandamania_NFT, and you can join our live episodes. Thank you.